just take a second to introduce this song. It's a to me one of the probably the song that I like the most that we do, because it has to do with a subject that I like a lot, and that's revival. And it's talking about really personal revival. There's a part of the song where it talks about, you know, the storms of life coming and the problems in life that hit us. And a lot of times, as we face those times, we tend to get cold spiritually. And we at times don't even realize just how far we've gotten away from God. And then there will come a moment where we realize, man, I'm in trouble spiritually. And it talks about stirring those coals again, rebuilding that fire, getting ourselves back on fire for God. And that's really what this week is about, a time of refreshing, time to get ourselves back on track, back on target, back on fire for God the way that we ought to be. And that's really what this song is about. J. Edwin Orr, who was a revival historian who really studied out how we as human beings can find revival, and a man that I look up to as a writer and a preacher and a man of God. I think he had some great insight there for us. As you pay attention to the words of that song, that especially that last verse, "O Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee." And that really is the truth. That really is the truth. And if we're going to see revival, it's going to be as we yield our will to the will of God. Specifically to the person of the Holy Spirit as He works in our life. Every time that we enter into a church service, every time the Word of God is preached, we are given the opportunity, we are challenged with truth from the Word of God, and we're given the opportunity as to whether or not we are going to yield our will to the will of God or not. And that should be an easy choice for us to make. It should be, but many times it's not. We're going to be in Revelation chapter number 2 tonight. You know, we as independent Baptists have a history I believe, of revival. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? And I would say all you have to do is look back into the 1970s, late 60s, early 70s through the 70s, and you find that in every state in the United States, the largest church in that state was an independent fundamental Baptist church. God was moving amongst us. And I think we got to the point where we saw God move and we thought we had the formula figured out. And we thought we knew what we needed to do. We need to have the right Bible and we need to have the right standards and we need to have the right programs. We need to do this and that. And if we have that, we'll continue and we'll still have the largest churches in the United States. But what we found is that I don't know of any state in the Union right now where the largest church is an independent fundamental Baptist church. And I think it's because we didn't need God anymore. We thought we had it figured out. We thought we could do things on our own. And the charismatics started talking about the Holy Spirit. And we, of course, didn't want to be labeled charismatic or anything else. So we pushed the work of the Holy Spirit to the side. And we focused on hard work and character and picking ourselves up by our bootstraps and getting the job done. And you know what? As independent Baptists, we're good at that, aren't we? We're good at getting the job done. We're good at getting out there and doing what we ought to do and when we ought to do it and looking right and talking right and singing right and doing all those things. But what we find is we're in need of revival. And looking right and talking right and singing right and doing all the programs right, they're not getting us anywhere anymore. And until we get back to the point where we realize we need God in our lives, we need revival. That's what we need. And I believe that's really how the independent fundamental Baptist movement began. But I think we've gotten away from that, a fear of being called something that we're not. We're going to be in Revelation chapter number 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works." And can I tell you this evening that that's something that should mean something to us? I think a lot of times in life, as we try to serve God, we endeavor to do the right thing, we kind of feel like we're alone. And we kind of feel down and out, and we feel like maybe we're not getting the results that we desire to have, and we feel like we're plugging along, but we're not accomplishing anything, and we're just living a thankless existence. Nobody really cares that we're doing the right thing. We're not getting any recognition for doing the right thing. We're just kind of burnt out. But we should take comfort in knowing, as Jesus Christ spoke to the church of Ephesus, "I know thy works. I know what you're doing. I see what you're doing. It's not going unnoticed. The things that you're doing, God recognizes, God sees, and God hasn't overlooked you. And God hasn't overlooked what you're doing for Him, even though sometimes we may feel that way. It says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from where thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." As you consider the church of Ephesus, you consider what is going on in Ephesus in Bible times. It really was a center of idolatry. It was a center of pagan worship. It was not necessarily a friendly place to the gospel. As you remember through the book of Acts, as witchcraft was being practiced there, and as Apostle Paul went through, that's mentioned, and the Ephesians were growing in their faith, and they became a church that God was watching and God was noticing that they were doing some things really well. You know what? It's a great thing to be commended by someone. It makes us feel good as human beings for someone to come alongside of us and say, hey, you know what? I saw you do that, and that was a great thing, and you did well in doing that. And you know what? We ought to do that as believers. We ought to be willing that when we notice that someone is doing something, we ought to take notice and say, hey, you know what? I appreciate the fact that you're doing this or that or whatever it is that you're doing. Hey, I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with us doing that. We appreciate it when that happens for us, and it's not that we should live our life seeking for such things, but it does help, doesn't it? To have someone come alongside you and just to know that they care and they're behind you and what you're trying to accomplish and they're on your side, they're on your team, that means a lot. And that's really what Jesus Christ is doing. He's coming along and saying, hey guys, you're doing a good job in these areas. I know that works. Now labor, God is watching these things. Now, we as independent Baptists are really good at that. We're really good at the labor. We're really good at the works. Independent Baptist churches, you know, we run van routes and we go out soul winning. When we're in a time and in an age where most churches don't have anything to do with those type of things, there's very little outreach into communities. But we as independent Baptists, if we're going to pat ourselves on the back for something, we do pretty well. Maybe not as good as we should, but we do pretty well in doing things like soul winning and in bus ministries and supporting missions and doing those kinds of things. We do pretty good at that. Probably not as good as we should, but we do pretty good at that. God is looking at these people and commending them for some of the things that they do. Their labor, their patience, and they're living in a place where they're being attacked and they're being persecuted and bad things are happening to them, and they're having patience. They're bearing these trials that they're going through. It goes on to say, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And you know, we could take this in my mind a couple different ways. We can't bear it that, hey, there's a bunch of people around us who are dying and going to hell and we want to reach them. Or we're looking at their evil works and saying, we don't want anything to do with those things. We can't bear them that are evil. And you know what? It's a good thing to stand up for what's right, isn't it? In the day and age in which we live, with all of the things that are going on that are contrary to Scripture, it's a good thing to stand up for what's right. And that's what these people were doing. They were standing up for what was right. They couldn't bear them, which were evil. They stood up to those things. It says, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and found them liars. Now, how can we do that? You know, in the day and age in which we live, there's a Bible teacher on every corner. There are people teaching the Bible everywhere. But the Bible says in this day and age, these people were able to identify those who were true teachers of the Bible, who were staying by the stuff, and those who were false preachers, false apostles. How is it that you could recognize someone like that? It isn't by walking up to them and necessarily seeing how they're dressed. It isn't what kind of shoes they have or their eyeglasses. It has nothing to do really with those things. It has to do with the content of their message. These people were able to determine by the content of their message whether or not they were of God or not. So that tells me that they knew the Scriptures. They knew the Word of God. They were able to compare what they were being taught with the Scriptures and were able to determine when false teaching was able to come across, and they can identify that. And friend, that's an important thing for us to do in our day, to know the Word of God. You turn on the TV and there are Bible teachers and there are people teaching things that are absolutely absurd, and all kinds of people are following after it because they say, well, this is Bible. You know, they say this is the Word of God, this is what the Bible says, and they don't even bother to check it out and see if that's true. So there are a lot of people in our day who are being led astray, but God is commending these people for knowing their Bible. And you know what? On average, I would say that independent fundamental Baptist churches, because of the preaching that goes on behind the pulpits and the emphasis on the Word of God, probably independent fundamental Baptist people know their Bible better than many other groups of people. God is commending these people for that. And I believe tonight that there are some things that independent Baptists could be commended for, some things that we do well. maybe if we just looked at our own individual lives, maybe the things that you're involved in, the things that you do on a daily basis, maybe there are some things in your life that you're doing right. And that is a great thing. And serving God the way that God desires for you to be to serve Him, doing the things that He's commanded you to do, those are great and wonderful things. And we ought to continue doing those things. But you know what I find in Independent Baptist circles many times is we have churches full of people who are absolutely burnt out. We're working, but we're burnt out. We're doing the things that we should out of character, but we're not enjoying it anymore. We're doing the things that we know we ought to do because we know we ought to do them, but there's no joy in living the Christian life. You know, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Jesus said He's come to this world to give us life, but that He went on to say to give us abundant life. God doesn't want us to live a Christian life of misery. He doesn't want us to live a Christian life of some slavery where we feel like we're forced into some forced labor. No, God wants us to enjoy our relationship with Him. He wants us to enjoy our labor for Him. These people were working. These people were doing. And many of us in our local churches are working and we're doing and we're burnout. Why is that? Why is it that so often we're faithful in doing what we ought to, but we're just not enjoying it anymore? Well, I think the answer is what we find here, the problem that Jesus had with this local church. It says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." They left their first love. In verse number 5, it says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly unto thee, and will remove thy candlestick." If you go to Ephesus today, you're not going to find any remnants of this local church remaining. Now, I'm not exactly sure of the history of when the church of Ephesus came to an end, but we know that it's not there today. And you know that is the tendency of churches. As you follow along, churches start, they're on fire, they have many good years, and then they seem to die out. And I don't come this evening to put a damper on your future. That's not what we're about tonight, but that is the tendency of churches. To become liberal, to slide away from the truth, and to fall away and to end up closing their doors. And you know what? I don't want to see my church go that direction. I don't want to see my church close its doors. I don't want to see that. So if we're going to have success in this and we're going to see our church continue, then we're going to have to be people who have not left our first love. That's the kind of people that we have to be. And you think, what is your first love? Well, it's your love for Jesus Christ. Doing these acts of service out of a heart full of love for Him, not out of a duty, because we feel like we have to, and if we don't, we're going to let people down, but because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we desire to serve Him. Now, how do we get to that point? You know, a lot of times in our day and age, we find that marriages are falling apart. And if you talk to a spouse, they'll say, "You know what, I'm not sure I married the right person." They'll give all kinds of excuses, and they'll come to a point where they say, "I just don't love them anymore. I just don't love them anymore. Well, you know, I've fallen out of love with them." Well, many times what has happened is we've become different people, right? You think about back in the day, and this is to my shame, this is the way it was with me. When I met my wife and we started our relationship together, you know, I was the kind of guy who got her cards, you know, wrote her little love notes and said how much I cared about her. And I would go out and pay way too much for flowers and give them to her.
And as we were going out, I would go to the car door first, and I would open it for her, and I would, you know, let her in the car, close the door. If we were going into a store, I would go and I would open up the door for her. I would do those things. And you know that, to my shame, I don't do all those things anymore. I've let that slip in my life. I just don't do that like I should. And you know that a lot of times if a husband says, I just don't love my wife anymore, I think there's a way to fall back in love with your wife. I think there's a way to get things back together. And I think there's a biblical pattern found right here in Acts chapter number 2. And do you know what that is? It's to do the first works. It's to repent, to remember from where you're fallen, to repent and do the first works. You know why you don't feel like you love your wife anymore? You know why you don't feel like you love your husband anymore? Probably because you're not doing the same things you used to do. You're not treating them like you used to treat them. And if you want to get that straightened out, then try it. Start opening up the door again. Start buying flowers again. Start buying cards again and see. You know what? I bet you that you're going to find pretty quickly that this is still the same person I married and I'm in love with him again. Why? Because you remembered from where you're fallen, you repented and you did the first works. And that's the pattern here that we find in Acts chapter number 2 that we as God's people are supposed to do with Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about back to the day that you first accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you remember that day, probably you get a smile on your face and you think about how great it was. And you think about the weight of sin that was lifted off your shoulders and how great it felt to be clean and not have that guilt of sin in your life anymore. And it was a great thing. And you know what? You could pick up your Bible and you could begin to read it and it was exciting and you are learning things. And it was just every time you picked up your Bible, it was like, hey, you're showing other people. Hey, did you know the Bible said this? Did you know this is in there? This is awesome. And this is really cool. And you know what? You should read that. You know what I read today? I read this book of the Bible and it was great. And you know what? You should read that. Like, you know, no other Christians ever read that before or ever learned those things. But you're excited about it because you just got saved and things are great, right? And then, man, there's this guy you work with and you know, man, this guy is lost. He is lost as can be. And you think, you know what? I've got to tell him about Christ. That's what I've got to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Maybe I'll get to work early and I'll catch him in his car and I'm going to tell him about Jesus. I want to tell him what happened to me because I think if I tell him what happened to me, then he might get saved. And wouldn't that be great? I mean, we're excited about Christ. We're excited about the things of God. We're excited about reading our Bible. It's a great thing to witness and tell others about Christ. And man, did you know church is Sunday? Yeah. I can't wait to get back there. You know, the preacher preached last week, and man, it was great. And you know what, man, it's just so much fun. Man, you get into church, and man, you get to sing in, and it's just so great, man. You just feel God moving, and things are great. Man, I love this. I love the Christian life. It's exciting, and I just can't wait to get back to church. And then what happens? We get dull. Church isn't exciting anymore. Reading our Bible is a bit drab. We're not getting out of it what we used to. And we're thinking, man, it's been a long time since I've gotten anything out of church. It's the same preacher. It's preaching from the same Bible. It's preaching the same kind of stuff, but I'm just not getting fed anymore. I'm just not enjoying this. Oh, visitation. Are you kidding me? Man, I just got home from work. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm just going to skip this week. Preacher will understand. It's all right. Sunday night's church. Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, I can miss this week. This isn't that big of a deal just to stay home once, right? You know, there's stuff happening. Got vacation. Got this and that. And slowly but surely, we find ourselves in a position where we're not going to church anymore. We're not reading our Bible anymore. We're not praying anymore. As a matter of fact, we don't have much of a relationship with God at all anymore. We get to the point that now we're wondering, am I even saved? Because I'm definitely not living like a Christian. And you're not. So what do we do? Do you know all of us are kind of on that path somewhere? And you say, well, that would never be me, Brother Pat. I'll never be the one who leaves church and doesn't come back. But you know what? That person who left church and never came back started somewhere. Right? He started somewhere by saying, you know what? I don't want to do this. Church just isn't as exciting to me as it once was. I don't think I'm going to go to church on Sunday night anymore because I'm just not getting anything out of it. And we start this downward trend that ends somewhere. And it either ends with us finding that we need to get back on fire for God and get things straightened out, or with us ending up out of church. Or hanging out in church because we know we ought to be there, but not getting anything out of it ever. So what's the solution? It is to remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember what it was like when you first got saved. Remember how great it was to be in church. Remember how much fun it was to tell people about Christ. Remember what you were getting out of your Bible, and repent and say, God, you know what? I've gotten cold. I've let the fire burn out. I'm not what I ought to be for you. God, and I realize that, and God, I'm not content with that. I want that to change. And then what? Repent. Do the first works. What are the first works? I believe they're the things we've been talking about. That's reading our Bible. You know, it's a shame how little in our day and age Christians read the Word of God. But if you don't have a relationship with God's Word, then you don't have much of a relationship with God at all. There is no being Spirit-filled without the Word of God. There's no joy in your life if you're not reading your Bible. And you know what? Many times we sit back and we wonder, why am I so miserable? Why don't I enjoy church anymore? Why don't I want to do these things? Why am I so miserable in life? What is all this about? But we're not even reading our Bible. It's like doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. It isn't going to happen. You don't have a relationship with God's Word. You're going to be miserable if you're His child. So what do? We do the first works. Read our Bible. Tell people about Christ. Do that. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, I think we've gotten to the point in our day and age, this is what people think. I go to church. Church is good. And that's what I should do because I'm a Christian. And the pastor is supposed to tell people about Jesus. And there's a couple of guys at church that are kind of weird because they're not the pastor, but yet they still tell people about Jesus. And that's weird. Because it's awkward to do that. Nobody wants to hear it. And that's just weird. And I don't know what to do. And I'm not going to be one of those people who go tell people about Jesus because that's weird. And that's the way many Christians in our day and age think. And they think that that's a normal Christian. One that does not speak the name of Christ to other people. But can I tell you that according to the Word of God, and how God has operated through the book of Acts and all through the Gospels and everywhere else in the Word of God, it is the normal Christian who tells people about Jesus. So if you're in a position in your life where you say, you know what, I never tell people about Jesus, but I'm a Christian, then can I tell you that you're abnormal? There is something wrong with that version of Christianity. That's not normal Christianity. And you can't find that anywhere in the Word of God that that's what God wants us to be. It's not there. Normal Christians tell people about Jesus. That's one of the first works. That's one of those first things. You know, the Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. One of the first works is being in church on a consistent basis. God wants us to be there. Now there are some times that we're providentially hindered and we cannot be there. I got sick Christmas Eve. I started getting sick. And I missed church for 2 weeks. You know, I was sick. I couldn't go to church. I was really sick. God understands that. God's not upset with you if you're sick and you can't go to church. But if you're sitting at home and you say, well, the football game's getting ready to come on, I don't think I'm going to go to church today. Friend, that's not right. That's just simply not right. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We ought to be there. Friend, that's one of the first works. That's one of the things God wants us to do. That's basic Christianity. Those are the things that we have to have in our life if we're going to enjoy our service for God. If we're going to enjoy our Christian life, we need to get back to the first works. So let me ask you this tonight. Do you read your Bible? Do you have a relationship with God's Word? Can I tell you that where my life changed? As a Christian who was carnally minded, did not necessarily do what was right, but I was in church. I was trying to live right, but you know, I wasn't a good Christian, you would say, maybe. Wasn't doing the things I knew I ought to do. It was when an evangelist came to our church and he preached a message about the importance of reading God's Word. And I committed to God that I was going to begin reading His Word. And that's when my life changed. And that's when I started becoming more like Christ. And it was shortly thereafter that God called me to preach. And God has been working in my life. And can I tell you that there's never been a day since that day that I missed a day of reading my Bible? I can't tell you that. I've missed days. But as a whole, my life has been filled with consistent Bible reading. Friend, if you want to have joy in serving the Lord, if you want to enjoy going to church, you want to enjoy those things, you need to have a relationship with God's Word. You want to be the kind of Christian who serves God and is not burned out, then you need to have an intimate relationship with His Word. How often do you read the Bible? What about your prayer life? That's one of the first works, too, that we didn't mention before. Do you spend any time in prayer? I'm not talking about just before you pray or just before you eat. I'm talking about, do you have a prayer life? Or daily you get on your knees before God and you cry out to Him. Do you meet with God in that way? Friend, you're not going to have a vibrant relationship with God without those things. Telling others about Christ. Making sure we're in church. Those kinds of things. That's what God wants from us. Those are the first works that I believe He's talking about here in Revelation chapter number 2. Now, what is the answer? If we're here tonight and we're saying, you know what, Brother Pat, I'm a burnout Christian. I've been serving God. I've been faithful. You know what? I'm not getting anything out of it. I'm not happy in it. I'm kind of miserable in it. I'm wondering if it's all worth it. I'm wondering if I should continue in this. I'm just burnt out. What should I do? And I'm not telling you this evening. I want to make this clear. I'm not telling you to stop doing the work you're doing for God. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. The answer is not to stop teaching Sunday school. The answer is not to stop driving a church van. The answer is to remember from where you're fallen, to repent, and to do the first works. And then continue in the work that you're doing for God, not being burned out anymore. The answer isn't to quit working. The answer is to make sure that our heart is right in the work that we're doing. Are you burned out tonight? Are you one that's been serving God for a long time, but you feel like, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. Not enjoying this anymore. That I think the formula God has given us here in Acts chapter number 2 is very clear. Remember from where you're fallen. Remember what it used to be like to serve God when you were excited about it. Remember that. Repent. And do the first works. Because if we don't, the Bible tells us clearly that the candlestick of the Ephesian church would be removed. And we as Christians know that you don't last long when you're burning the candle at both ends, you might say. You're going to burn out. And you're going to get to that point where you're the one that people say, hey, do you remember that person they used to come to church? You remember that person they used to be active? You remember when they used to come to church, but they don't come anymore? Because somewhere along the way, They lost their first love. They didn't remember from where they were falling. They didn't repent. They didn't start doing the first works again. And now we don't see them anymore. They're not around. Friend, I don't want that to be me. And if you're here at church tonight on a Tuesday evening, I would say you probably don't want that to be you either. Maybe tonight the Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart. I hope that He is. If you're here tonight, there's no liberty in your life. There's a joy in your life. But I want to invite you this evening to remember from where you're falling. Remember what your service to God used to be like. Remember the joy that you got out of it. Remember the fulfillment that you got out of it. And repent. God, I've been wrong. I know I haven't done what I need to. I know I'm away from you, God, and I don't want to be anymore. God, forgive me. And then go home and start reading your Bible. Go home and spend some time with God in prayer. Go home and get on the phone and tell somebody you know about Jesus. Repent. Do the first works. And you know what I think you'll find? Very quickly, that the joy will return. And you'll be excited about serving God again. Things will be good. And you'll be glad that you're saved and you're serving God. There'll be joy. Life will be abundant again. You'll be so excited you can't wait. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this evening. Maybe you're here tonight and your Christian life isn't what it ought to be. You know it. Tonight God has spoken to you about that. There's no joy in your life. You've been working, but there's no joy there. But tonight God has spoken to you about your need to remember from where you're fallen, to repent and do the first works. If that's you tonight, would you lift your hand and say, God spoke to my heart tonight. There's a dullness. Amen. Anyone else? There's a dullness in my spiritual life. Amen. And tonight, I need to do business with God. I need to get that right. Anyone else tonight? You say, Brother Pat, God spoke to me tonight. I need to get something right with Him. Lord, we thank You for those who are here. We thank You for Your Word and the power that it has to change our lives. We thank You for the exhortation that we get out of it. Lord, our need to remember where we've fallen from, to repent and to do those first works. God, we thank You for that tonight, that key to success in our Christian life. God, I pray for those who have raised their hand tonight and they've said, there's a dullness in my spiritual life. I need that fire to be stoked again. I want to be on fire for God like I have been in the past. Lord, I pray for them and I would ask that You would help them tonight to take care of whatever area in life they need to, Lord, so that they can be on fire for You. Lord, for those who are here tonight, maybe they should have raised their hand, but they didn't. Lord, I pray for them also. I would ask that You would do the same. Well, God, give them the boldness that they need to do business with You in this area tonight. We thank You in Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand.